This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Revelation chapter 1 this evening, if you would. Revelation chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 9 and then read through the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 1, beginning here in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's pray. Father, we are mindful that when we approach your word, we do it as man, and hopefully righteous man, and understand that these are spiritual words given to us so that we may better understand not only who you are, but various situations in which you present yourself. And so we're thankful for the reading of your word. And as always, we pray that you might bless it to our spiritual understanding. I'm glad, Father, that I can approach your throne of grace boldly and talk to you at any time. This happens to be one of those times, and it just happens to be publicly. But I'm grateful to know that you hear me and that it is your will to answer anything that I ask of you according to your will. And so I ask that you take the things that are here in your word tonight and the things that might come forth from me, and that we might be able to put some things together if we haven't already, and be able to come away with a greater appreciation of a number of things here tonight. We're just grateful to be here in your house and to worship you, and Father, just to know beyond any question of our salvation, praying always for anybody that might be watching, hopefully anybody that's here without Christ the Savior. We pray for that conviction from the Holy Spirit and the understanding that salvation is of you. It is not of us. It cannot be earned, bought, paid for, merited. And it must come through the shed blood of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. So speak to our hearts tonight and draw us close to thee, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want you to go back to verse 10. And it talks about the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So I'm going to deal with something that I feel needs to be dealt with right away. That cannot be the Sabbath day. You've got to understand the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week. It has never changed. It is always the seventh day of the week. And, of course, when I mentioned this, then obviously if you've done any amount of study, if you've done any amount of witnessing to Seventh-day Adventists, you know that this is where they come from. This is the heart of the issue that they're about. And in that cult, the followers must keep the Sabbath to be saved. Go with me to Galatians. We're going to skip around a little bit, and then we'll come back here. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll go down here to verse 10, read through verse 12. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So the question comes up, are we saved by grace or are we saved by works? Are we saved by faith plus the law or are we saved by faith? Or are we saved by the law or are we saved by works? Romans 11:6 says you can't mix the two. You just can't mix them. They don't mix. It's either by grace or it's by works. But if it's grace, you cannot insert works to be saved. It just can't. If it's all of works, you can't put grace in there, because works don't allow for grace. If I hired you to go and do the back part of our house where there's some dead trees, and I said I will pay you X amount of dollars an hour to do that, and you went and you did that, then what I would give you is the exact amount that you worked for, but there's no grace involved with that. You worked for it. All right? If you can work for your salvation, then there's no grace. You just can't mix these up. But these are people, Seventh-day Adventists are people who will tell you, if you do not adhere to and obey the Sabbath, you have taken the mark of the beast. You know that. You know that by us doing this, we have taken the mark of the beast. And that's not always public with them, but if you can dig a little bit, you can find this is what they hold to. Remember, with them, the truth was lost. And then, of course, in the 1800s, somebody found it. Sounds reminiscent of Joseph Smith, doesn't it? Some guy was at the garage sale yesterday, and he was talking about Mohammed being a plagiarizer, that nothing, very little of what he put out was of his own, that it all came from somewhere else. I just happened to hear when he was talking to Linda, and I said, same thing with Joseph Smith. There's very little that was of him. Most of this was from King James. And he just combined them together and mutilated it. That's what it is. But I don't like the fact that they hold to that place. But they do. And yet, go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And look down here in verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. So, I don't think that Colossians 2:16 agrees with the position of the Seventh-day Adventist. Strictly speaking, from a biblical standpoint. So I ask, if we go back to the book of Exodus, why was the Sabbath given? Well, if you look at it very carefully, it was given as a day of rest. It was not given as a day of worship. And if you're, we have one of the churches here in town. If you are on 50, and you go down to that church, it's a little bit less than a mile. And if you went down to Meadow Ridge on Barna, it is a little bit more than a mile. Do you realize, according to Scripture, you weren't allowed to travel more than 9/10 of a mile on the Sabbath? So, in all likelihood, if somebody lived on the other side of 50 and came across, they went a mile, so they broke the law by a tenth. And if they came from the other direction, they broke the law. So you've got a bunch of lawbreakers that are sitting there and worshiping on the day which was not given to worship, but to rest. It was given for man. So believers worship on Sunday. And why did they do that? Well, because the disciples did. Acts chapter 20. We don't have any stated things about Sunday. We just had evidence of things that happened. We put old math, 2 and 2 together, and it doesn't equal 5. All right? Acts chapter 20, look at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, all right, so let's stop there. If Saturday is the seventh day, then what's the first day? Sunday. People talk about the weekend, and it's for them, even the news media, the weather people, it's supposed to be Saturday and Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Now, you go to work on Monday and you're saying, oh, the first day of the week is so horrible. No, that's the second day of the week. So pick a different day. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. All right? Now, why did they meet on the first day of the week? Because that's the day in which Christ arose from the dead. First day of the week. Look here at Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. So the first day of the week is the day that we come together to meet. We call it the Lord's Day. Right? It's not the Sabbath. If somebody wants to, like when Park Avenue has Saturday night services, and they say, we do that so that you can rest on Sunday. Flip it. Rest on Saturday, worship on Sunday. All right, so, I mean, anybody can go to church any day they want to, if they feel like it, but Sunday is still the Lord's Day. Always has been. So that basically is a small rabbit trail to get to the message, but necessary because God's people need to be informed about the errors just as much as about the truth. All right? There are people that I think they're very well-meaning. You may argue, well, they quote Ephesians 2:8-9. That's true, they do, but they're guilty of theological term switching, which means that they don't mean what they say. And what they're trying to do is get you to understand that if you're saved, you're going to keep the Sabbath. Otherwise, you're not. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Right? So the Lord's Day is a day of worship. And proper worship must be, according to John 4:23, in spirit and in truth. It's a combination of the two. There are people that will tell you that they worship and they go to church and they worship. But if they don't believe the whole counsel of God, it's not in truth. And if they're doing it in the flesh, which many of them do because of the music and the entertainment idea, they're certainly not doing it in the spirit. They're in their spirit, maybe, but not spiritually speaking. And so here's John. He's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he was being persecuted, and he was suffering. There are some people that say the testimony is that they put him in a vat of boiling oil, and somehow he survived that, and there he was on that. But I don't know for sure. But why was he being persecuted and suffering? in verse 9, it says very clearly, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for two things, the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So it tells you a lot about John. It tells you that, you know, after the resurrection, and we have all the book of Acts. The Acts doesn't include John, does it? And we go through all these books until you get the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then the book of Revelation. Then it tells you that he was doing something, and people didn't like it. And because of the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, what two better things can you take with you wherever you go? And yet some people, no, I'm not gonna stand, I'm not gonna lose my life or be persecuted because of the Bible or because of Christ's testimony, then what do you have to stand on? We talked about seeing Christ the solid rock I stand. Don't you think that includes that? Absolutely. Right? It's likely that he was alone, though that's never stated. And yet he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He knew when the first day of the week was. And I don't believe it was unusual for him. I believe that it was an habitual action that he took every Lord's day unless he was prevented by persecution. Now, there was no building to go to. There was no church to go to. He knew this is your day, Lord. And so he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We talk about Spirit. The spirit of players in an athletic endeavor, whatever that endeavor may be, is often a contributing factor in winning. The spirit of spectators and their enthusiasm or their energy. And so here you have people cheering on the sideline has a great deal to do with people winning games. They always like to be playing in their home field because it's always an advantage. You have people cheering for you instead of against you. I think it's offensive. Actually, I know it's offensive to be in our situation where we are here, hopefully in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and there are not people cheering for us but against us. But it happens all the time. It should never be like that. And in that spirit, and on the Lord's day, which is a spirit of worship, John has this vision that we now call the book of the Revelation. Isn't that amazing? I wasn't going to go here, but you look and he says, I, John, who am also your brother, and then he says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And then everything begins to unfold. Imagine being in the Spirit on the Lord's day and what the Lord can do with you spiritually as he did with John. I mean, think about what I just read and about what he heard, what he saw. When you have a mindset and the Lord is leading, you can sit down and you can see things you never saw before. And you just wonder, how did I never see that? Well, maybe you approach the Word of God in the flesh. It ought to be that every church is like that. That you come to church and the whole format is in the Spirit. The only advantage that we're going to get, the only thing that we're going to get spiritually speaking, it has to come from the Spirit. It can't come through me. It's got to come through the Lord. It's got to come through the Holy Spirit. But if you're not in tune with that, and there's something else going on, you get nothing. It's like there's little. Remember years ago they used to do these commercials, and they had I don't know if it was for toothpaste or what it was, but they had this plexiglass thing up, and whatever was going on never got through. It just bounced off. Couldn't hear it, couldn't feel it, whatever. Well, you know, when we're out of fellowship, that happens. I mean, we may look and we may think that there's things that are going on here, but we're not seeing. I would I would have loved to have been there with him. I wouldn't love the persecution. I wouldn't love the pain. But I would have loved to have been with him and seen the same things that he saw. Look at what he unfolds to us and has been so important and precious to us all through history. Now, I happened to be in a church when I was growing up that was not a Bible-believing church. They professed to be, and they wouldn't touch the book of Revelation. So there's no way anybody can figure that out. Well, for a lost person, you're right. There's no way you're going to figure that out. Even for saved people, a lot of times you're taking things that we don't have a clarity about, and you're trying to make them fit certain things according to your agenda, and you can't do that. You have to take them as they're there, and if you don't know something, you just set it to the side, and you keep moving on. We were talking the other day, and I think some of these things are not going to be known, but there's other things that may be known the closer we get to the Lord's return. So, the Lord's Day, awful important, but for way too many people, the Lord's Day is the morning after the night before. That's all it is. You can recount what we did yesterday, but there's not any preparation for today. There just isn't. I remember from the book of Jeremiah, I think it was Zedekiah, asked Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? And he answered, there is. Well, there's two things that have to happen there. Number one, you have to have an interest in things that are coming from God. Otherwise, you won't ask that. And number two, there better be something that's coming out of here that is from the Lord. There's a lot of good people are in places that don't give out the word. And they can be saying, is there any word from the Lord here today? And basically, they don't want to answer no, but they in practice say no, there's not. You're just here. You just go through the motions. You just do your job. You give your money, and we'll call you good Christians. That's sad. So where's the growth? Where's the satisfaction from worshiping in spirit and in truth? It's not there. We approach God oftentimes saturated by the spirit of the world. I mean, just saturated. And is there no wonder why the worship fails to satisfy? Is there no wonder why people continue to change what is termed worship and make it entertainment? Because there's no spiritual power that's emanating from them and coming to them through the Word. And so they have to get to something else where they can feel satisfaction. And it's always lower than what they would have had if they came the right way at the right time. All right? As to this particular season, I'll just call it, the Lord's Day is consecrated by the Lord's authority. Now, this doesn't directly relate, but it does in a sense. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why would you do that? Because the Lord has the authority on this day. Why would it be called the Lord's Day if he did not have the authority over it? And is it, what kind of day? Is it our Savior's Day? Well, in a sense it is. But our Lord's Day. So it has an emphasis of deity there, divineness. This is his day. It's different than all the others. And I was at a place where the group of men had entered into a softball league. And they played on one day during the week at night. It wasn't Wednesday. And Sunday. Now, they wanted me to play because I just had that kind of ability. And so they said, okay, right after church, we're going out to whatever field it was. So we'll see you there. And I said, no, you won't. Well, why not? I said, because I just I don't think that's right for me. I never, when I ran in races, I never ran on a Sunday. If I looked and looked and looked for half marathons and marathons that were on Saturday. I finally found one, a half marathon and a marathon in Jacksonville. They were on Saturdays. But to me, I hold this day apart. Not perfectly, but I set this day apart because the Lord has set this day apart. This is all an observance of the resurrection, is it not? I would hope so. Number two, the Lord's Day commemorates the Lord's literal and bodily resurrection from the dead 3 days and three nights later. How important, when we come to the time when we observe the Lord's resurrection, how important do we stress the resurrection? It is very. I mean, without it, you don't have a gospel. So the emphasis is very, very sincere on this, and the Lord commemorates this day in connection with His resurrection. How we ever skip over this fact is very difficult to understand. Every Lord's Day is a celebration of the literal bodily resurrection that first day that we call Easter. Everyone. We do this. Why do we only sing resurrection songs on the resurrection day? Every Sunday is a celebration of that, an acknowledgement of that. Every Sunday. When we talk about the resurrection, do you remember that everything up leading to the resurrection, the apostles, the disciples, they were nothing. And when the resurrection happened, they then suddenly became very bold. Their whole emphasis changed. And they became very useful to the Lord. The resurrection had that kind of power. What power does it have today? We make up other days to worship. We don't put a great emphasis on this. And we paid the price. We have paid the price. It's been a heavy price to pay. Number three, the Lord's Day is dedicated to worshiping in spirit and in truth, and to the Lord's service. Consecrated, commemorated, and dedicated. It's a special day, unlike all the other days. Okay, as to the state of what we're speaking about, on the Lord's Day, we are to be engaged in spiritual exercises. Now, the last I checked, I think I went out to the sign and looked again this morning. I was looking on the other side because I need to clean it. But I was looking, and on the other side of the sign, on the shady side, it said Heritage Baptist Church. And I went on to the other side. You know what? It said the exact same thing. And I opened the bulletin, and the bulletin says, we're Baptists. All right? We're not denominational. Right? We're not non-denominational. We're not a cult. We're not a false religion. And so we worship. Now, I had a hard time with this after I got saved because coming out of a Protestant religion, we showed up on a Sunday morning and for church, sometimes for Sunday school, and then we were done. And now suddenly I get saved and I'm in a church where you have Sunday school, and then you have a morning service, but then you're not done. And you come back for an evening service. And then you come in the middle of the week somewhere. That's who we are. Now, when I was growing up, it was very similar to these two churches, except there was a road, a small street, separating them. There was the Baptist church, and here was the Protestant church. And you could hear them singing. And the people, and probably myself with them, that would mock them because they were so loud. And then, because on their sign, they met in the morning, in the evening, and during the week. And for me, I couldn't understand they must be a cult, even though I didn't even know what a cult was. There's something wrong with those people. They're fanatics. They're extremists. Well, I'm glad I'm one of them. You know, I'm glad I came to that place. The Lord's Day has never been intended for you or for me to go through emotions. Ever. Ever. We should ask ourselves every time we come here, Lord, do you have anything for me today? You know where I'm hurting. You know where the things that are going on in my life. I need you to speak to me. You don't have to tell me. You tell the Lord. I talk to him. I'm no different than you. There are things that I have to not acknowledge in the sense that you would, because I'm giving this out. But I feel the same way. Lord, you know, lead me to something that's going to be of help to somebody, or open other people's eyes to what is going on. Not everything is in-house. What I was speaking about this morning was out-of-house, basically. I mean, it's going on all around us. And ultimately, we'll get inside this building if we allow it. But we can't afford to go through the motions. Secondly, not only are we to be engaged in spiritual exercises, but this day is to be punctuated by spiritual truths and principles. Teaching, preaching, prayer. You can listen, you can learn, you can apply and grow. Or the same people can shut it all out and wither spiritually. Because none of this is forced. Everything here is according to how close you are or how far away you are from the Lord. I know that there are situations where people have just tuned out. I'm in a unique position. I can see the tune out. I can see the disconnect. And while that may be sad, I just keep going, just like when the guy came down the aisle that one day. Remember that one night? Dropped the backpack there, violated we have a policy. Nobody gets through out of the lobby, and especially with a backpack. And Bob says, "Oh, just put your backpack down." And it's sitting right there. And he comes down here, and everybody's all upset. And I tell him to have a seat, and we just kept going. You didn't come here to have him interrupt your service. And so the focus is, you're here for a reason. You get what you came here for, hopefully. And that situation will take care of itself. Now, when we started the funeral, I held up my phone, told everybody if they have a cell phone, turn it off or put it on vibrate. We now have an emergency alert system that doesn't pay any attention to what we do. I've woken up at 3, 4 in the morning and got an amber alert. And it's so loud, and no matter how low I have the phone, it still goes off. Screaming. We can't help that. But what we can help, we ought to do. This is a day that should be punctuated by spiritual truths and principles. If you feel you have arrived, you're in the wrong place. And I'm in the wrong place. I have not arrived. A lady told me asked me years ago, she said, "Do you know everything there is to know in the Word of God?" And she meant that in a good sense. I said, "Not even close. Not even, I don't even like to talk about that." No, absolutely not. But I know there's much more for me to learn. I know that I'll never learn it in my lifetime. I didn't get saved early enough to learn it in my lifetime. So you try to make up for it a little bit later, but still you'll never learn it. There's always something new that the Lord speaks to your heart about. There are things that you can read and read and read and read, and you're coming through life in a certain situation. You read the exact same thing, and suddenly everything opens up. That's what this word is. And when it happens, and when it happens here, and there's nothing pre-planned in what you're doing, or with an agenda, with an edge, with some hobby horse, the Lord does wonderful things. I can't explain it. I just know that it happens. Number three, we're to enjoy the spiritual influences. Not hate them, not put up with them, but enjoy them. Go back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now, what I'm going to say here obviously goes transcends the Lord's day, but especially the Lord's day. And look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Imagine taking everything of the world, everything of the flesh, and leaving it outside. But if you don't, you can't fully delight yourself in the Lord. It'll be partial. I'm glad for partial. We're not talking here in the sinless perfection type situation, but we ought to delight ourselves in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. In the Lord. And he'll give you the desires of your heart because you want what he wants for you. And you know that he wants the best for you, even though we don't always understand it. Enjoy the spiritual influences of the common bond of fellowship with him and with our brothers and sisters. There are some people that never come to the Lord's table, ever, and never come to a fellowship, ever. One of the four things that you need after you get saved is fellowship with other believers. You need that. I need that. I have neighbors on both sides. Neither one of them are saved. I can't have fellowship with them. We talk to them. We try to help them. We've tried to win them to Christ. But we can't have any fellowship with them. But with you, not only can I, but I should. And so should you with one another. We ought to be a people that are concerned about fellowshipping with one another because of our fellowship with Christ. It's very important. We're to enjoy the spiritual influence of the goodness of God, despite ourselves. When I was in graduate school, we were in a church not far off from the school, and it was a good church, small church like this, and so the invitation was given, and one of the fellows that was also in the school went forward, and pastor said, "Would you go up there and help him?" Because he lost control of himself. He was crying so hard. And we're right there in the front. Everything is going on. Hopefully, I said, "Do you want to go in the back room?" And he said, "Okay." And so I got him in the back, and he said, "You know, what's going on?" And he says, I don't know how the Lord could ever use a person like me." Boy, I came face to face with myself. And still, how can he use anybody like me? I don't know. But I don't want to belabor the situation. I'm just thankful for the goodness of God. We're here to enjoy the spiritual influences of the comfort of God. Being saved. Knowing we're saved. Being in Christ. Go to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And look at verse 19. "In the multitude of thy thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember, the Lord is the great comforter, the great encourager. He's been through what we are going through. And he can comfort you here. He can do what you and I can never do with one another. And number 4, we should enjoy the spiritual influences of the blessedness of God. Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Look here in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Enjoy the blessedness of God. Look at Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. We are to enjoy the spiritual influences of the blessedness of God. When we give in Sunday school or here in church at night, during the evening service, when we have a situation where we say anybody have a word of testimony, there ought to be a fight. Who's going to be first and who's going to be second? Instead of who's going to look at the rug the shortest. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're here in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Is there anything that's happened to you that is commendable as for a testimony from God? Where He has blessed you, that He has comforted you, you have seen His goodness to us, something with a common bond of fellowship that you have had with Him during the week or with one another. Look at all the things that John got from the Lord by being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You can go through chapter after chapter after chapter. I mean, all of this occurred, and there may be another day involved, but I'm looking and I'm thinking, wow, if we would just put the time into where time should be, because many people look at this on a Sunday as the Lord's hour. If that. No, this is the Lord's day. And John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then look at what happened. And just keep reading and reading and reading. And if you can match that, well and good. I don't know that I'll ever match that. But I do know that if I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the Lord can teach me. He can lead me. He can guide me. He can correct me. And I know exactly where I am and what He's doing. I can take that, I can learn it, I can apply it, and hopefully give it out sometime later. So, I learned you're not supposed to start a sentence with so, because Brother Andy said you're not supposed to do that on Wednesday night. Are we in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Are you in the Spirit on the Lord's day? If not, you need to get in the Spirit. You need to hold on to it and allow it to carry you through till we meet again. Because this is important. Knowing this is far more important than being popular. It's more important than power. It's more important than being right all the time. This is what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heads and close our eyes here this evening, we just want to thank You for Your Word. I don't believe that what was put here in the early part of the book of Revelation was put in there for no other reason but to glorify John. No, this was always to glorify You. And even in the harshest of circumstances, which he was in, the Lord's day was Your day. And he concentrated on whatever he could concentrate spiritually, allowing the Holy Spirit to show him, to teach him, and obviously to write down the things that we now have in this blessed book. I really do want the very best that You have to offer to me. And I do want the people of this local church to have the very best that You offer to them. But we can't do it on our own. We cannot do it in the flesh. And of all the days, we need to concentrate on You. This is the Lord's day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I just pray that You would speak to our hearts here this evening before we have our business meeting. And if there's anything we need to respond to or talk to with You. And Father, I just pray that we would respond. same thing about salvation. I just ask that you convict someone enough so that they would act on the conviction that they have that they need to be saved. Or be baptized, or even join in people that are visiting, people that have been visiting for a long time. Have your way in the invitation, for we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us, or write us, or email us in this most important matter, or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.